Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. Here still with me in studio are the new Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, Liam Herrick, Padraig Tobin of Aonthu, Sinn Féin TD for Roscommon Galway, Claire Curran, and in our Limerick studio, a Fianna Fáil Minister of State at the Department of Justice, Niall Collins. We're going to go to another issue. I know it's going to be included, Liam, in your upcoming strategy that you'll be publishing in the coming week, and that's the continuing issue of traveller community accommodation and discrimination against travellers as the broader issue there on the part of successive governments. Now, a failure on the part of successive governments to address the particular accommodation needs of travellers. Earlier in the week, I went to Castlebar in County Mayo and met with a father and son who are living on a halting site in the town. It's the only halting site in County Mayo. And they showed me around the site and spoke to me about what they need and what they want.
John Jason Mohan, Bay 1 halting site, Castlebar, County Mayo.
For somebody who doesn't know, just run me through what's in a bay.
Firstly, there's either mobile homes or caravans. That's for in halting sites, but there's also prefabs that is in the site, and they weren't upgraded since 1995, and that's ridiculous, to be honest, because travellers are living in poor living conditions, and they should be living in standard accommodation, at least bare minimum, such as a mobile home, at least, but travellers wasn't give that.
And what's your name?
Tom. Yeah.
And Tom, how long have you been living on the site here in Castlebar?
First of all, I'm a native of Castlebar. I was reared in a house. My family is from Castlebar on, and I was living in a caravan. When I moved in here 5 years ago, it wasn't fit for animals to live in. I have 6 kids. There's 2 under the age of 18. And the accommodation that we were living in, it was an old prefab, something that you, an example I could give you, you'd have more comfort living in a farmer's hayshed. That's being honest about it now, and that's not being rude.
It was terrible, to be honest. It was shocking. It was very bad for your health. My father mentioned about you'd rather live in a hayshed rather than a prefab. It was like living in a fridge container. It was so cold.
What's the impact on people's physical health and mental health of living in accommodation that's cold or where there are issues, you know, with space and that kind of thing?
Well, first of all, it's a very depressing life to be living in. Like, there's no family, particularly kids or people that's up in age. Like, there's no way that they can live in that, because they can expect colds, chest infections, and anxiety. Can't sleep right, waking up with a cold, dampness, water running down the walls, and kids going to doctors through chest infections and between colds and flus and so on. Like, you know, this place is like this the past 30 years since it opened, and if they had any respect for the travellers that live in here and did live here in the past, it would be up to standard.
Can I ask, there's a new traveller accommodation plan drawn up by Mayo County Council. It's supposed to cover 2025 to 2029, I think, cover all of those years, and as part of that there's supposed to be a consultative committee, a committee to consult with travellers. Did you ever come across the committee, or were you ever asked for your opinion on what the accommodation needs are?
No. Never even heard of it. Never heard of it.
John Jason, you're 21, is it?
Yes.
Looking ahead to having a place of your own, building a life here where you want to live, what are the prospects at the moment? What's your current setup like, and what do you want for yourself?
Well, that firstly, I'd like the halting site to be up to the standards and to be living a very, very good accommodation. Like, it's 2025, everybody should be living in a good accommodation, and to have all the power, toilets, showers up to standards. All the bays need more room, because since 1995 it was different back then than now. The society has changed a lot, and I think everybody needs more room in each bay. The bays need to be more bigger. good standard accommodation, such as a mobile home or a caravan, whichever the traveller chooses. If they want a trailer, they want a trailer. Like, that's what they want. It's not what another person can choose for them. That's what they want to live in.
Private rented accommodation and social housing is not what you're after. You want the site here to be renovated because this is where you want to be living.
Yeah. We do want the site renovated, and we want it to be our primary residence for life. Me personally, I'd rather to be living in a Halton site rather than a house. To be fair, if I got a brand new house, I wouldn't take it. I'd rather live in a Halton site. It's part of my culture and so on. You know,
the government should put more pressure on the authorities in every county in Ireland and look after their own people, their Irish citizens, travellers. They have been forgot about for so long, and it's time at this day and age to look after the people.
And that was Tom Mahon speaking to me at the halting site in Castlebar earlier this week. And before that, you heard his son, 21-year-old John Jason. The panel is still here with me. Liam Herrick, the issues that were being discussed there about provision of accommodation to travellers, specifically the kind of accommodation where, you know, if they were asked in this situation, the fact that the members of that family, they would rather live on a halting site that is up to an appropriate standard with adequate works being done for the family. What's the national record like on that, I suppose, to zoom out from Mayo?
Well, first of all, it's not just a preference, as articulated there by Tom and John Jason. It's been Irish law since at least 1998 that local authorities and the state have an obligation to provide traveller appropriate accommodation. And the courts have upheld this on a number of occasions. And the situation around the country is that despite all of the progress made economically and socially in Ireland in recent years, the position of travellers, especially with regard to housing, is absolutely unconscionable. As much as 20% of the traveller population are categorised as homeless. And over the last 10 years, in the cases that the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission has been involved, where we provide legal assistance to traveller families, we've had instances where a family with a newborn baby had to sleep in a car. We've had families that have been living in situations without running water and electricity. And because of the failure of local authorities in the state to provide a proper, adequate, official halting sites, we have many travellers in many parts of the country staying in unofficial sites which are adjacent to dumps or recycling plants often infested with vermin. So we're talking about subhuman accommodation conditions in one of the wealthiest countries in the world.
And where does the power lie? Because you heard Tom Mahon's call there at the end that he wanted central government to put pressure on local authorities to act to provide accommodation. So where does the power lie? Who tells who to do what?
So what we have found is that where we've provided legal assistance, very often either the courts have found in favour of the families or there's been settlements between the state and the families with regard to their individual housing situation. So solutions are found, short-term solutions are found, but the overall picture isn't improving. We have a statutory power under our legislation to request public bodies to carry out an equality review of their own practices. We asked all local authorities to carry out an equality review of their provision for travel accommodation. And what we found is that in many instances where central government has allocated funds to provide traveller appropriate accommodation, either it's not being drawn down by local authorities or it is being drawn down but not spent on traveller appropriate accommodation. It's been spent on settled housing. And you're seeing then a failure of consultation or really taking into account what are their statutory obligations.
Okay.
All of this has really led us to take a different approach now. And we are now initiating a legal action which won't just challenge the failure of individual local authorities, but will also look at the state's responsibility. If local authorities aren't meeting their legal requirements, then ultimately the state is responsible, not just for failure to meet the Traveller Housing Act, but in fact to address what constitutes a constitutional rights violation, a violation of the Charter of Fundamental Rights, and a violation ultimately of the European Convention on Human Rights.
Okay. Niall Collins, this is a persistent issue. There is, as you heard there from two members of the Mahon family, they want significant upgrade works. It's provided for in the next traveller accommodation plan for Mayo County Council, but hasn't been substantially delivered yet. And they're living on a halting site that was built 30 years ago with no substantial works since. I mean, on a national level, What will be different this time in the lifetime of this government to get local authorities to provide the accommodation that people say they need?
Well, if you step back about 10 years ago, the big issue with this, and I've discussed it over the years, as have others, I'm sure, in terms of your media appearances, the issue over the years has been the underspend by local authorities in not drawing down or not spending their full traveller accommodation budget. Over the last 5 years, thankfully, there's been a proper full spend and a full budget allocation for 5 years in a row has been spent by our local authorities from the years 2020 to 2024. That's in the order of 100 million euros, which has been spent over that 5 year period. The budget for this year is higher. It's 23 million euros. That's for 2025. And Liam is right. There's an obligation in law for the local authorities under the Traveller Accommodation Act of 1998 to provide proper and adequate housing for members of the travelling community, but also to draw up and to publish a traveller accommodation programme. And again, if you went back 10 or 15 years ago, the local authorities were slow in having any type of a formalised strategy in relation to it. So it's there in law, and they're now in the process of drawing up their 2025 to 2029 programmes in relation to that. So
it's on that point I wanted to ask you. And I don't expect you to answer for Mayo County Council, but when they were drawing up their last traveller accommodation plan or traveller accommodation programme, one of the bodies that was supposed to provide information and feed into this was what's called a local traveller accommodation consultative committee. Mm-hmm. And for the 2 years prior to them drawing up that plan, there had not been a traveller representative on that consultative committee. So, you know, how much due diligence is done on the putting together of those plans and how compliant they are with the wishes of people, or what efforts have been made to establish the wishes of people when their needs are being met?
Well, the obligation is on each local authority, and I sat on the local authority myself where there was a traveller consultative forum, as you've described there. And, you know, Mayo County Council should have consulted properly, should have had that forum consultative committee established, and it should have obviously consulted with members of the travelling community within their functional area of County Mayo. That goes without saying. And, you know, it's alarming to hear that Mayo County Council didn't do that in terms of drawing up their traveller accommodation programme for the forthcoming year. Look, okay. I mean, traveller accommodation is an integral part of our housing policy. It's within the programme for government, obviously, to provide for traveller accommodation over the lifetime of the next government and to ensure that our local authorities have a full drawdown and implement what they have detailed within their traveller-specific accommodation.
I just want to go to some of the other panellists here in studio, and it should be said, Mayo County Council say they are working on to progress membership of traveller representatives on the committee. Two representatives, they say, from the Mayo Traveller Movement, although that hasn't happened yet. That report plan was drawn up in June of last year, and there hadn't been a member from the traveller community for the preceding 2 years. So it's going on almost 3 years now at this stage. Claire Curran, that question to you as well. Central government, pressure on local authorities, but the end result, you often see spends on standard lets, HAP, RAS, those kind of tenancies, not the kind of tenancies that those two members of the Mahon, or the accommodation that the two members of the Mahon family say other people would like as well.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. It's listening to the travelling community themselves and listening to what their actual needs are. And when you think about it, for what they're looking at for their, and what they're looking for their halting site, and that is obviously where they want to remain, you would imagine the cost is far less of building them a house. I mean, they're talking about basic services on their halting site, which should be, of course, provided. And as Liam has said, and the Minister said, that the funding has been spent in the last 4 or 5 years, it is being spent. But as Liam said, where is it being spent and what is it being spent on? And therein lies the issue. But I think we need to come at the housing issue in terms of the travelling community, where we hear and listen to them. And it won't just be Mayo. It'll be, as you've said, it'll be much, much wider than that. My colleague Sean O'Brien regularly raises and highlights the amount of money spent by local authorities, every local authority, and typically there is an underspend and the money that is allocated isn't spent. So that's an ongoing issue now for a long time.
All right. Padre Tobin, what do you see this as being the solution here? I mean, at the moment, local authorities, they were given enhanced powers in order to progress local authority projects. Mm-hmm. And yet there doesn't seem to have been any huge progress in this. In fact, in the county we looked at, homelessness amongst travellers has gone up 30%.
Yeah, I don't think your average person realises how negatively travellers are discriminated against in this country. So in terms of suicide rates, for example, 11% of deaths are as a result of suicides amongst travellers, which is about 8 times higher than the general public. In terms of child mortality, it's again multiples of the general public. And, you know, there is this instinct that, you know, local authorities will be inclusive to travellers if they kind of abandon being travellers in terms of the locations of their accommodation. We've been tracking these figures for years. Like, you know, in 2019, Donegal County Council didn't spend any of their allocation. Leitrim didn't spend any of their allocation. Monaghan didn't spend any of their allocation. And this is a time of a housing crisis. And the reality is, and let's be honest, there's political resistance to this in local authorities, because sometimes it can be advantageous to certain councillors not to take a strong, brave, decent decision around this, but to go for the lowest common denominator and use their power and influence for what they see as a political advantage for themselves.
Just to update that, the councils now in the most recent figures are Monaghan, Leitrim, Cork County and Cavan are the councils that didn't spend anything in 2024.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that there's political resistance. Like, you know, there was a house assigned for a traveller family in Galway recently, which was put under fire, which, you know, which was a horrendous thing that, you know, a house would be burnt that was for a family in need in a housing crisis. And I'm just thinking, even in the recent storm that we had, I know of a young girl who had an electric wheelchair, she couldn't charge it for weeks because of the lack of electricity. She was actually given, a room was booked in a hotel under the humanitarian assistance project. But when she went to the hotel because of her surname, she wasn't given access. And, you know, that discrimination is still rife in this country against travellers.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.